You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And indeed, a very good morning, boys and girls. I hope you've had an absolutely amazing long weekend. Carnival is, etc., etc. You're feeling good and safe. You're back where you should be, back home. Anyway, lovely to be with you this morning. We've got to the 23rd of February. It is Thursday today here on the Breakfast Show. And so what we're going to do is start off with somebody, well, relatively important in his life. Who had a birthday on this day. We're going to go back to the year 1633 today, to Samuel Pepys. He was born on this day. The year was 1633. Now, he was an English naval administrator and a member of Parliament who is now most famous for the diary he kept for a decade while still a relatively young man. It provides a combination of personal revelations and eyewitness accounts of great events, such as the Great Plague of London, the Second Dutch War, and the Great Fire of London, as well known as the Pepys Diaries, of course. And that's it. Welcome to The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
You told me with
I tell you what, there's a nice start after a long weekend, isn't it? There's Boss Gags, what a lovely voice, and the track was Miss Sun. William Royce Boz Scaggs. Gosh, he was born, back in 1944. American singer, songwriter and guitarist. Early bandmate, by the way, of Steve Miller and the Ardells as well. And, of course, Steve Miller Band. Boz Scaggs, nice track. Just called Miss Sun. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're just about 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. We are on 89.3. Got some interesting things happening during the course of this morning. Make a nice change, I hear you say. Tell you more about that a little bit later on. West End Girls from the Pet Shop Boys this morning. Time, we are 12 after the hour of 7 o'clock.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Just believe, but he was working in the night. Oh.
We've got Billy Joel singing about Christy Lee. And I tell you what, that brings us to, it does bring us to this. Time to get you all spruced up this morning, all nice and clean. I had a shower yesterday. Been painting and decorating for a couple of days. Definitely needed it. In the shower with you this morning, it's Change. Lover's Holiday. There we go. That's it. In the shower with you this morning, as I mentioned, it's Change and a Lover's Holiday. And time on the Breakfast Show, 20 minutes. And that's after the hour, 7 o'clock. So what do we do now? Well, we turn off the water and get out of the shower. There we go. And on your way to work or wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. It's all gone very quickly, isn't it? I tell you what, being in the city over the carnivales, it was really, 'cause no traffic. It was almost like lockdown. No traffic out there over the weekend. Not so easy if you want to get to Casco, but it's still quite possible. But sort of living at this end of the Cinta Costera, that's sort of round about, Multicentro's end of, you wouldn't even know there was a carnival, to be perfectly honest, in the city. You just didn't have a clue. Of course, it was all happening down the other end. If you bought an apartment down that end by the fish market, I'm sorry about that. A lot of people out there having fun. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Would you rescue me? Would you get my back? Would you take my call when I start to crack? Would you rescue me? Would you rescue me? Would you rescue me when I'm by myself? When I need your love, if I need your help, would you rescue me? Would you rescue me? We don't talk much, not anymore. Broken bottles and slamming doors. But we still care about each other. Say we care about each other. I know life took us far away. But I still dream about the good old days. When we took care of each other. We were living for each other. But I take my call when I start to crack. Would you rescue me? Would you rescue me? Would you rescue me when I'm by myself? When I need your love, if I need your help, would you rescue me? Would you rescue me?
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
when I look at you in your eyes. I see there's something burning inside you. Oh, inside you. In your eyes. I know it hurts to smile, but you try to. Oh, you try to. You always try to hide the pain. You always know just what to say. I always look the other way. I'm blind. I'm blind. In your eyes. You lie, but I don't let it define you. Or define you. In your eyes, I see there's something burning inside you. Oh, inside you. You always try to hide the pain. You always know just what to say. I always look the other way. I'm blind, I'm blind. Your eyes. You lie, but I don't let it define you. Oh, define you.
There we go, two in a row. That last one was The Weeknd and In Your Eyes, and before that, One Republic and Rescue Me. Time on The Breakfast Show. We're just sort of making our way towards the bottom of the hour, so I think we'll do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Buenos días, amor. Soñé que era el informante adecuado.
¿Informante de qué? ¿De la CIA?
Muy graciosa. Pero en el sueño yo tenía mi batería, así que estaba clarito.
¿Batería?
Que en el sueño entraba a la página censospanama.pa y me leí el cuestionario censal.
Ajá, ¿y eso de qué te ayudó?
Bueno, mi amor, que es más fácil si desde antes ya sabes qué te van a preguntar.
Hasta el 4 de marzo, ábrele la puerta a los censos de población y vivienda de cada 2020. Panamá, cuenta contigo.
I tell you what, if you're just about to go off on a summer vacation driving through this wonderful country, well, make sure your car's up to speed, all right? The last thing you want to hear is this. So if you're going on a road, first of all, get your car checked out. Where? Valley Motors over in Clayton, the place where they have a passion for cars, for your car. So don't forget, this vacation, that nothing leaves you stuck on the road. Go along, City of Knowledge, Valley Motors, make your appointment now. Just drop them a WhatsApp at 6431-0419. The best vacations begin with your car.
Valley Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And yes, indeed, it is. And we're just a few seconds away from the bottom of the hour, 7.30, so we're going to take a look at some of the international news and some of the business news for this Thursday morning. Ukraine said its forces had repelled Russian assaults along the length of the front line on Thursday on the eve of the war's anniversary, as President Vladimir Putin, empty-handed after a bloody winter offensive, talked up Russia's nuclear arsenal. After a series of strident speeches in the run-up to the anniversary of his invasion, Putin announced plans on Thursday to deploy new Sarmat multi-warhead intercontinental ballistic missiles this year. Earlier this week, he suspended Russians' participation in the START nuclear arms control treaty. Yevgeny Prigozhin, founder of Russia's Wagner mercenary force, said on Thursday that much-needed ammunition for his troops had been dispatched after a public row in which he accused the military leadership of treason. Prigozhin had on Wednesday published a grisly image of dozens of men who he said have been killed because commanders, including Defence Minister Sergei Shoigu and Chief of the German General Staff Valery Gerasimov, had withheld ammunition to spite him. Neither man commented, but the ministry rejected the charge. A gunman opened fire on two television journalists reporting on a murder near Orlando in Florida on Wednesday, killing one and wounding the other before fatally shooting a 9-year-old girl and wounding her mother in a nearby home, said authorities. A suspect identified as Keith Melvin Moses, 19, was arrested shortly after the assaults on the TV news team and the mother and daughter about a block away from each other in the Orlando suburb of Pine Hills, said Orange County Sheriff John Mina. A major winter storm battered the northern plains and upper Midwest with high winds and heavy snow on Wednesday, forcing hundreds of schools to close, grounding air travel and making road travel difficult, if not impossible in some U.S. areas. More than 50 million Americans were under winter weather advisories on Wednesday morning as the storm moved across a wide swathe of the western and northern United States and into the east. Up to 2 feet, that's 60 centimeters of snow, and winds of up to 60 miles, 97 kilometers an hour, were expected in some spots during the day and into Thursday, the National Service said, the National Weather Service had said. Turkey will widen an investigation into building contractors suspected of violating safety standards following its devastating earthquake, the Interior Minister has said, as the country stepped up housing plans for victims. Süleyman Soylu said that 564 suspects had been identified so far, with 160 people formally arrested and many more still under investigation. Marking 1 year of war, Ukraine and Russia lobbied countries at the United Nations on Wednesday for backing ahead of a vote by the 193-member General Assembly that the United States declared will go down in history. We will see where the nations of the world stand on the matter of peace in Ukraine, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, that's Linda Thomas-Greenfield, told the General Assembly. The General Assembly appeared set to adopt a resolution on Thursday put forward by Ukraine and supporters, stressing the need to reach as soon as possible a comprehensive, just and lasting peace in line with the founding UN Charter. Mercedes-Benz said on Wednesday it has teamed up with Google on navigation and will offer supercomputer-like performance in every car with automated driving sensors as it seeks to compete with Tesla and Chinese newcomers. Global shares eked out to slim gains on Thursday as strong earnings in the semiconductor sector were overshadowed by news that the Federal Reserve would continue on its path of raising rates to quell inflation, but by taking smaller steps. The dollar steadied, while oil edged up as WTI crude dug in its heels. The MSCI, or country share index, was slightly firmer, adding to the year's 4.5% advance, after falling nearly 20% in 2022. In Europe, the stocks index of leading European companies was 0.2% firmer, building on its 8.8% gain for the year to nearly wiping out much of last year's 13% loss. Oil prices stabilized on Thursday after Brent crude posted its biggest one-day loss for 7 weeks in the previous session, with gains on Russian supply curbs capped by an expected rise in U.S. inventories. And Brent crude futures, well, they rose 25 cents or 0.3% to $80.85 a barrel, and that was by 10:04 GMT Thursday morning, compared with about $98 a barrel on the eve of Russia's invasion of Ukraine a year ago. West Texas Intermediate crude, WTI, advanced 26 cents or 0.4% to $74.21 after six sessions of losses. And last but not least, Elon Musk is not entirely abandoning California, saying on Wednesday that Tesla Inc. will make the state its global engineering home, even though the electric vehicle maker's corporate headquarters are now in Texas. And that's it. There we go. Some of the things in the international news and in the world of business for you on this Thursday morning. You are listening to The Breakfast Show. We're on 89.3 Cool FM. Coming on this morning's program, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, happy to say Dr. Computer's available. He'll be coming in to chat with us. And in the last hour this morning, John Wolfe is going to be with me. Be great to see John. We're going to be talking about the Boquete Jazz and Blues Festival, which is coming up. And he's got a couple of tickets to give away as well. So plenty happening on this morning's breakfast show. Plenty of great music, of course, as well, going right through until 10 o'clock. We'll check in with Ingrid, our intrepid outdoor reporter for Everyday Story of Country Folk, and also have a chat with Yasmin. There we go. Two in a row, started off with the Eurythmics and the King and Queen of America, and Neil Diamond following on there, and the Grass Won't Pay No Mind. Unless you cut it. Well, did we all have an exciting Carnivales weekend? Long weekend? I tell you what, probably nothing compared with what happens over there in Athens in Greece. Good morning to Renee and Rick this morning. Good morning! I hope everybody had a great and safe Carnivales. A heck of an exciting week here in Athens. Monday morning while cleaning house, I heard a ruckus outside where I put the dogs while I clean. Went to see what was going on. They were tossing and stomping on something. And I thought, oh dear, they've got a cat. Well, I ran to see what was going on and they were playing with a tortoise. Yes, a tortoise. About the size of my open hand. I picked it up and moved it to a secure location away from the dogs. Poor thing. Anyway, no punctures, thankfully. Gave it some water and veggies and it devoured both. How it got into our yard, no clue. Did somebody research? I did some research and it's a spur-thighed tortoise and apparently during winter they burrow underground. Well, Monday was quite warm, so it must have decided to unburrow. Not sure what to do with it. But I will probably release it to a natural habitat in the hilly area above our neighbourhood. And then Tuesday, well, you know, about the fall. Yes, I saw that on social media. The dogs, they sort of got into a little bit of a a little bit of a fight with another dog, and they pulled Renee over, and she damaged her ribs and has got a slight sort of drop in one of the lungs. I'm trying to think what they called it. I had that once when I was water skiing once. I burst one of my lungs. She says, you know about the fall. Yes, we know about the fall. Thankful to be home after 36 hours in the hospital. Rick says, while I was in the hospital and on a video chat teaching him how to use the coffee machine. Oh, God, I don't know how to take care of myself. Please play Tom Petty in Free Falling. Okay, let's go on. Because anyway, it says here, Pierce, the doctor said no laying around. Walk, walk, walk. Get the injured lung stronger. And, oh, no scuba diving or flying for 3 to 4 weeks. Spontaneous pneumothorax. That's what I had. Spontaneous pneumothorax when part of the lung collapsed. PPS, really fun you guys met up with Rowena and Phil for lunch at the Wallace, our favourite pub. It was great fun. It was lovely to see them. And of course they're back now in, they flew back yesterday to Mexico, back to Cancun, that area. Rick's parents have 6 inches of snow in Portland, Oregon, and it's still dumping down. Very rare for Portland. Well, that's it. There's all the news coming from Greece this morning. We're all over the world here, aren't we? Anyway, you also like to play Free Falling from Tom Petty.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
There we go. I guess he must have forgotten his parachute. Free Falling from Tom Petty there. And it was the opening track from American musician Tom Petty's debut solo album, which was called Full Moon Fever. And that was released back in 89. Now, the song was written by Tom Petty and his writing partner for the album, that was Jeff Lynne, and features Lynne on the backing vocals and on the bass guitar. The duo wrote and recorded the single in just 2 days, making it the first song completed for the album, Full Moon Forever. If you are keeping eye on the time, we're 8 minutes away from the top of the hour. We're going to have two in a row, starting with this one from Paloma Faith.
Hurt like this. Why must I hurt myself all the time? Why does it hurt?
There we go, two in a row. That was Will Young and Why Does It Hurt? And before that, Paloma Faith and Lonely Love Can Hurt Like This. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. We're on 89.3 Cool FM.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM
89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Me avisaron que hoy debe estar pasando el empadronador.
Mamá, ¿qué pasa? Estás tarde. Los censos van hasta el 4 de marzo.
Oye, pero qué buena noticia, que los censos son hasta el 4 de marzo. Pero, ¿y si vienen y no estoy?
Si no estamos en casa, dejarán una hoja de notificación donde podemos llamar al centro de llamadas 510-2020 y listo, agendamos una cita para que nos vengan a censar.
Hasta el 4 de marzo, ábrele la puerta a los censos de población y vivienda de cada 2020. Panamá, cuenta contigo.
We're all going on a summer holiday.
I tell you what, if you're just about to go off on a summer vacation driving through this wonderful country, well, make sure your car's up to speed, all right? The last thing you want to hear is this. So if you're going on a road, first of all, get your car checked out. Where? Valley Motors over in Clayton, the place where they have a passion for cars, for your car. So don't forget, this vacation, that nothing leaves you stuck on the road. Go along, City of Knowledge, Valley Motors, make your appointment now. Just drop them a WhatsApp at 64310419. The best vacations begin with your car.
Valley Motors.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
And frolicking out and about in the streets. I hope you all had a good time over Carnival, because now we have to do, what is it called, 40 days and 40 nights of giving up something, or that's Lenny or something. I'm not sure, but I know I've been getting some great photographs from the cook down there in Texas. She said the Mardi Gras parades down there were a lot of fun. She getting some good old-fashioned Texas barbecue, and I was like, yeah, that sounded good. So I drove around this weekend a little bit. Just one day, I decided to go out and see what the world looked like during Carnival. Well, in El Valle, it was busy. There were people everywhere. It looked like the restaurants were having a great, great couple of days. Lots of people in town eating and spending their money. The pavilion there had those jumpy balloony thingies where the kids were all jumping up and down on those bouncy-wouncy thingies. Looked like it was a lot of fun. So one thing I was really pleased is, as I was driving back home, there was a police roadblock, and not only were they checking people, they were checking driver's license. Exactly what you said, Jerry. They were checking for driver's license. And it was nice, because mine is legal and tender and all, and I showed it to them, and they were like, okay, buenos dias. I said, thank you very much. I was really glad. They were checking people coming out of El Valle. I imagine they want to catch those that are drinking and misbehaving and probably driving incorrectly with a license that's either expired or not even in existence. But it is, again, a chilly, chilly morning. All the windows are closed. Let me see what the temperature is inside. Inside, it's 69, so it's usually about 4 or 5 degrees lower outside, so it's probably about 64, 65 outside. That's Fahrenheit. I don't do Celsius. I'm sorry. I never got into that. And unfortunately, during the changeover in the 70s, when Jimmy Carter asked us to do that, I didn't get into it then either. Well, speaking of Jimmy Carter, bless his heart, one of our presidents is now in hospice. We wish him Godspeed and God's rest. He was a great man. He wasn't always a very popular president because of the things he did. But here in Panama, he was a hero because he helped return the Panama Canal to the Panamanian people. Well, that's all I got for you right now. And back to you in the studio.
For affection. See what I'm saying? I ain't playing. Stop delaying, girl, and make me your natural selection.
You're crazy. I don't know about you, but I think I like you.
And there we go. That was Natural Selection together with Nikki Harris there and Do Anything. Time on The Breakfast Show, if you are keeping eye on the time, 24 minutes. And that's after the hour of 8 o'clock. We're on 89.3, Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial, most of the time. It is time to say a very good morning. It is Thursday. It's always good when he can be with us in the mornings. And it's a very big breakfast show. Good morning to Alex Newman, Dr. Computer. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry.
How was your Carnivalis?
Oh, it was hectic. Very busy. It's not a holiday all over the world.
Anywhere else?
Well, it is kind of. For example, I'm sure they do some pretty interesting stuff in New Orleans for Mardi Gras, but besides that, it's still business as usual everywhere else in the world. And since I have to take care of some things around the world for the job I have, my regular 9-to-5 job, it's just a regular working day, pretty much. So I stayed home. I did some research, some reading, some courses and things like that. I really enjoy using, I don't know if you've heard about it, LinkedIn Learning. It's like a Netflix, but for your brain.
Okay.
They have courses on everything from, I don't know, astrophotography to zoology and everything in between. Technical stuff like managing networks. Mm-hmm. There's business stuff like, you know, soft skills and how to sell better. And there's courses for pretty much everything there. Pretty recommended.
I said, well, so with LinkedIn, I mean, I hadn't used LinkedIn for years. Mm-hmm. So I go to log into LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And so I have my name and password. Then it's telling me to use the authenticator.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have an authenticator for LinkedIn.
You may have set it up at some point and forgot about it. But you can always just reset that and go back in.
I checked. I got one for the one I use for Microsoft, but there's nothing else on there. No LinkedIn.
Well, you can still go through, you know, jump through a couple of hoops to disable that by verifying who you are and your email and so on. But it is something that is very, very important to have nowadays. Passwords are just not enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a very, very funny skit that I saw the other day from a BBC comedian that everybody had their same password for everything years and years ago, and then website said, you know, you have to have a capital letter, so they would just make the first letter a capital letter. Then you had to have a number, so people added the number one at the end. Then you had to have a special symbol. People just looked at the list of symbols and said, hey, that's a nice exclamation point you have there, so they would just add it after the one. That's really not enough nowadays. And passwords can be very insecure. They can fall into the wrong hands. You can give it to people by mistake. So what they've done now is that they have two-factor authentication. It used to be that you got an SMS message. But the problem with that is that in some circumstances, people can either steal your SIM card or they can pretend to be you and get a new SIM card with the same number and get those numbers, get those messages.
How do you get a SIM card with the same number if the number's already allocated?
You, for example, let's say you got a prepaid number that you got at some store and they didn't ask you for your information. And the number is 6123-44567. And somebody wants to do you harm. So they go up to the store and say, hey, I bought this SIM card ages ago. I lost the phone. Can I get it back? They'll ask, what's the number? It's 6123-4567. They look at it, doesn't have a name attached to it, and they just take you on good faith. It doesn't happen everywhere, it doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen. So it's really important that any SMS authentication that you still use is on a phone that's in your name, so that if somebody walks into one of these stores, they're going to ask them for ID, and they're not going to give it to them unless they provide, you know, ID. So you have to be careful about that. Another thing about SMS messages is that not everywhere in the planet does number portability work well. So if you used to be, say, cabling wireless, and you switched over to Tigo or vice versa or whatever, the problem is text messages will not always work the way they're supposed to. You'll ask maybe Apple to send you a text message to authenticate and it will go through. But then Google asks for something like that, and it doesn't, for whatever reason. And maybe tomorrow it does go through. It all depends on what kind of SMS text provider they're using and how the routes are done, so that a number that comes into cable and wireless that isn't cable and wireless anymore, they have to route it to, for example, Tigo. And it's all a mess, and it doesn't work too well. So, for example, I use all of the SMS message verification that I use is on a phone that's never changed providers. It's a prepaid in my name, and I keep it just for that purpose. But it's better to use something called an authenticator app. There are several. There's the one from Microsoft, which you mentioned. There's one from Google. There's one I've used a lot called Authy, and that's A-U-T-H-Y. And I like it because it's a little bit easier to recover if you lose your phone or whatever. The Google one and the Microsoft one make you jump through hoops if, you know, you lose your phone or whatever.
But when you get an authenticator, how do you put, say, I have my authenticator mm-hmm. on here, mm-hmm. but don't have, how do I put LinkedIn on the authenticator?
You first have to have no two-factor authentication or some other two-factor authentication. Then when you switch over to using an authenticator app, it'll say, okay, give this code, which is also a QR that you can scan, mm-hmm. to the authenticator app. It sets up this mathematical equation that's tied to that specific point in time and your username and your password, and then uses that to generate numbers out of the time of day. So every 30 seconds, there's a new number that's attached to that equation. It's very similar to what the banks use
right,
when you're doing a transaction that requires...
Token.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a token. It's called a token, but it's basically a pretty elaborate mathematical equation that's not easily reversible, and that if you try to reverse it, it could mean two or three or four different numbers, which wouldn't give you enough time to actually crack that. So it's pretty safe to use, and it allows the website that you're talking to make sure that it is actually you and just not somebody who grabbed your password by any other
mm-hmm.
means.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. We're talking about passwords and things like that. Let's go over there. Yasmin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Now, you had an issue last mm-hmm. week. Tell us about that.
Well, I got a phone call from my bank, the one with I have the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that somebody was using my credit card. And they sent me some emails with some information about that. And most of them were in the U.S. or mm-hmm. through internet or things like that. And so I had to go to the bank and then ask them what happened. And they said that the most of the time there are people, and I already asked Alex about that,
mm-hmm.
that they are just like typing numbers like crazy. And then if they find the correct number of a credit card, they use it. That's the way.
So what
they
work.
That's what they said, the bank. I don't know.
Okay. So what would they be, how would they type in numbers and find a credit card number, Alex?
Yeah, that's not how that works. Unfortunately, whoever talked to Yasmin was probably trying to do the right thing, but in the wrong way. That's not how any of that works. Not since the 80s. Yes, there is an algorithm or a set of instructions, mathematical instructions, that define what a valid credit card number is. The numbers have to add to a certain amount, and if you subtract that from another amount, it should always add up to a certain number. It's a simple checksum. And that's about it. Yes, you can use a program to generate what would be quote-unquote valid credit card numbers, but then they'd have to match your name, the name on the card,
mm-hmm.
the expiration mm-hmm. date, and the verification number that's always in the back. And that, you know, to happen... In a random fashion, or for you to be able to manipulate reality so that random numbers come up that way, I'd get on the plane on a first plane to Vegas and play the odds there, because that's not feasible, not in this reality. What most likely happened is that at some point somebody looked at all the numbers, the ones in front and the ones in the back, wrote down the information and sold it to somebody else, who then tried to use it, probably online or wherever they could type in the numbers and so on. And unfortunately, that is something that is difficult to prevent. Most physical cards have chips, and those chips have authentication information and so on that requires them to be paired with a specific reader, the one that you find in stores and things
mm-hmm,
like that,
mm-hmm.
and it creates another token that's based on you and the store and the bank, so that everybody has kind of a stake in it. And that's how credit cards work this century. So what happened was, or at least what I believe must have happened, is somebody copied all the information and tried to use it online. I'm not in the banking industry, and somebody from the banking industry could probably explain this in a much better way than I can. But basically, banks have different levels of risk when they do a transaction. And if you have like a physical chip and a physical card and you put it in the reader and so on, it's highly likely that it's a legit transaction. So the bank will usually make sure that this transaction is legit and they'll carry the risk. But if you do it online and there's no card present or a chip or anything that identifies the user beyond the card, then it usually falls upon the merchant to take the risk and sell you whatever they're going to sell you. And they're probably insured for that or whatever. The problem is the user gets affected. She had to go to the bank. She had to talk to the bank. I don't think that's fair. But unfortunately, banks don't operate that way. They, you know,
they don't work fairly.
No,
we know that. But, Jasmine, in this case, I mean, you say the charges were in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them.
So then I would assume they didn't honor any of those charges.
Mm-hmm. No, because they realized in the moment, because that person started buying in the right time a lot of things. And, of course, the bank knew it wasn't me because mm-hmm. I used mm-hmm. it just once monthly to go to the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I use it. So they blocked it and they gave me a new one.
Because the other thing as well with the banks is, I mean, for instance, last year when we went on vacation, this year when we go on vacation, we call the bank and we tell uh-huh. them, I'm going to be using my credit card in Germany, Austria, France, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They make a note of that, so at least they know where I am and that the charges are okay. Which is what I'm getting back to here, is the fact that if you didn't tell them that you were traveling, they shouldn't have authenticated it anyway. Because
mm-hmm.
they require that now.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is changing and has been changing for a number of years now. They're using very basic artificial intelligence to notice out-of-order peaks in your spending.
Exactly.
Or out of the ordinary locations mm-hmm. where you're spending, or websites. I mean, I don't think I've had a problem with my credit card not being accepted in at least 10 years since I started traveling, and I'm guessing because the bank has kind of a history of what my transactions are like. If all of a sudden I start buying, I don't know, gasoline in Dubai,
or makeup,
yeah, they're going to flag that and probably going to stop that right away, unless it's a physical card that somebody used at a terminal,
mm-hmm.
because then there's more evidence in case there's fraud and whatever. So that's why usually when you use your card, there's no issue. Or when you use something like Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or Google Pay or anything like that, because they also have the information that ties you to your Apple ID or your Google account and so on. So there's less risk involved. Mm-hmm. Still, there are things you can do to prevent that. One of the things that I told Jasmine to do as soon as she gets her card in is to make sure she takes note of the verification number in the back, usually 3 or 4 digits, depending on the card. And then blot it out with some magic marker so that nobody can see it. If you don't have that verification number, they can't as easily use it online because most online sites will ask you for that number.
All right, so here is a thing, because I don't like doing it. Mm-hmm. I do not like it. Why am I giving them the security number so that everybody can see it? I mean, then they have all my information, and I don't like doing it.
Yeah, usually when you give out this information, you're not giving it out to the website owner. Most website owners don't want to have that information at all. Maybe bigger website owners like Amazon can afford to buy the insurance and the lawyers and everything to make sure that if there is fraud, it will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But smaller merchants and stores will usually not keep your information at all. They will go through what's called a payment gateway, and those payment gateways, for example, in Panama, we have Pague Lo Fácil. They will take the risk. They will take the hit. They have to comply with regulations such as PCI DSS, GDPR, the UK's regulations, which are really, really stringent, and so on. and they have to go through audits, and they have to make sure that they treat your information securely. So it's less of a risk for these smaller businesses that can't afford to lose your information. It still happens, but one of the things that you can do to prevent this is to use something like one of the many electronic wallets that we have now in Panama. It used to be that we had Nequi, and it would generate a temporary credit card number that you could use once, and that was it. Then there's Zinli, which is also a wallet with a Visa debit card that you can use pretty much anywhere. You can top it up with whatever you need, buy whatever you need, and then if somebody tries to use it wrong, it's not going to have enough money to pay for it. And even if they did, let's say they bought a pack of gum and used your last 25 cents on the card, you can always cancel the card, regenerate one within a minute, and have a completely new one with new information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The only downside to that is that if you use it to pay services that you pay regularly, like your Netflix bill or whatever, you're going to have to go back to Netflix and add that new information as well, which is, I believe, a little bit less cumbersome than getting your money stolen. So there's always that.
But also there's the issue as well. I don't know if you got this, Yasmin, but if your card is used, you get an alert from the bank that your card has been used.
Exactly.
And if you don't recognize this charge, call so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that?
No. Because they block it.
Because it didn't get to that stage.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I find that to be really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, to me that's a good safeguard because it literally comes through at the time they use the card, basically, and you say you don't recognize it, you go straight back and tell them.
Yes.
Within 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that you have to be really careful about is phishing attempts using that very same kind of email. You would get an email from another domain, so it doesn't say bankwhatever.com. It will probably say bank-whatever.com. Some other typo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that a lowercase L looks a lot like an uppercase I, for example. So you'll get a message from the bank saying, hey, you got this charge on your card. If you want to contest this, click here. Don't fall for that. Be careful. If you get an email message like that, call the number for your bank that you should already have in your contacts, and you make the call. Never give out your information on a call that you received, because it could be just somebody else. Even if it sounds like it's the bank, one of the things that's happening in other countries, I haven't heard about it happening here, but it's just a matter of time, is what's called a man-in-the-middle attack, or MITM. What they do is they call your bank first and then say, hey, I want to contest a charge on my credit card bill. Could you put me on with the department that takes care of it? They'll say, sure, right away, and they'll put the attacker on hold. Then the attacker calls you and says, hey, we're from the bank. We noticed some weird charges. Do you mind if I put you through to the fraud department to make sure that it's you? You're going to say yes. And then when they put you through, they just listen in on the call. The guy on the other side is going to say, hi, thank you for calling this bank. Who are you? Oh, I'm Jerry, and my card number is 41235467, whatever.
Mm.
And they're going to be listening in on the call while they ask you all of this information legitimately, and then write that down and then use it elsewhere because you already provided it.
Mm.
So in order to do that, most banks are not asking you for all the details. They're going to ask you for, like, the first and last four digits. They're going to ask you for your cédula or something like that, but not necessarily all of the information. Or they're going to ask you for something else. Still, don't fall for that. If somebody from the bank calls you, then say, hey, you're going to take their name, take their number, take whatever, and then hang up and call back to the number that's on the back of your card or that you know is from the legitimate website for that bank. And then verify that information, just to make sure. That way, if the other person was actually doing their job, it's going to be okay. And if there wasn't, at least there's some information that they can use in order to find out who and how they did that.
All right, perfect. We're talking with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. We're going to take a piece of music, and we'll be right back.
I know you've been around. I'll make you coming around. How about you and me get down? How about you and me get down? Babe, I know you've been around. I make your bed. Don't think about what lies ahead. Don't you wanna be misled? Don't you wanna be misled?
And there we go, Duran Duran, and that was just simply called Safe, and that's what you need to do. We've got a question here, answer just looking at it. Clever idea to block out the verification number on the back of the card. Good, okay. LinkedIn Learning, is it free, Alex?
Unfortunately, no. It's about $30 a month, but it's so worth it if you want to improve yourself and your career and everything. I've taken courses there that would have cost me hundreds of dollars elsewhere. I mean, it's not the same exact course by the same exact instructor, but it's usually, you know, a whole bunch of different courses, especially on the technical side. But there's everything, like from sales to psychology to woodworking. I mean, there's cooking. There's a lot of stuff on LinkedIn Learning that's totally worth it. I think what you can do to see if it's worth it to you, I believe they allow you to have like a 30-day trial subscription, and if you like it, you can keep it. If not, they don't charge you for it. I think it's totally worth it to spend some time working on yourself. It even prods you to use it at least 30 minutes a week or 60 minutes a week or whatever, so you're making use of it. I mean, they don't want to have it just there and not being used, like some subscriptions that some people only use when their favorite show is on. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. But speaking of going back to the safe part online, people always ask me about, you know, how to keep their credit card information safe online. We mentioned few ways. One other way to do that is to make sure that, again, just like I told you not to give out your credit card information to anyone who's called you, always make the call yourself. Also, never use links, especially in email, social media, or like ads on social media to go and buy something. If you see something like, there's this new set of microphones that I'm going to use for my studio, I think they look great. Go to the website for the manufacturer or whatever yourself, and then make the purchase. Because there's a lot of fakery going on in social media where they will take the legitimate ads for a piece of tech and then create ads with links to fake stores where they'll be, you know, at a discount or whatever, and you'll fall for it, and you'll give them your information and then not get anything, or get, like, a very bad facsimile out of some factory somewhere that's not authorized, not even the brand. So be really, really careful about that. People ask me often about the cards now that are wireless-enabled that you can just make them go close to the reader and read your information, and they ask me, is it safe? Should I get an RFID blocking wallet? I do have one, but just out of being overly cautious. The thing is, like I mentioned before, there's a lot going on behind the scenes when you take a card and wirelessly transmit the information. Again, it creates a token that's based on the transaction, the bank, the credit card processor, the machine, the merchant, and then you, and then grabs all of that information and turns it into a transaction. Just grabbing the information on your card, which you can do with a phone that has NFC and an app, is not enough for a transaction. And anything that is enough for a transaction, there's a video going around every so often in social media of a guy taking a terminal and putting it near somebody's pants pocket and having it register as a transaction. If they get found out, that merchant's going to lose their privileges. They're going to get sued. That's not how, you know, credit card theft happens. So you don't have to worry about that.
But surely now, having these chips, which you just touch, that is ridiculous because people don't check them. I mean, you just, if I lost my card and so and somebody had it and they can just go and pay, they don't check it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's dangerous. I mean, to me, it's worse than anything. Somebody's got your card. They don't need any kind of authentication. They can just say, I have this. The store don't even look at it because they don't take possession of it. You do it.
And that is why in places like the UK and Europe have what's called a chip and pin system, where you can do that. You can
and then put in a pin number.
Exactly.
Which makes sense, but here that doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm guessing it'll take another 10 years for them to catch up.
Talking about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I was mentioning while we were listening to the music that a friend of mine is ordering a new iPhone
mm-hmm.
and wanted an eSIM.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him it's not available. And basically, they didn't say just that. They said, remember, this is Panama. It's with a particular company. Mm-hmm. Won't mention any names, but there's somebody you and I know. And I dropped him a little note and asked if you can get an eSIM with this particular provider. Says, mm-hmm. not yet.
Oh, wow.
Nearly. should be launched in March.
Okay.
So
knowing like I know.
What's the advantage, by the way, of having an eSIM?
You don't have to physically go to the store anymore. You can, for example, right now, if you were going to travel to the U.S. or, I don't know, somewhere closer like Jamaica, mm-hmm. you can actually go online, get a virtual SIM, have the phone scan it, and then as soon as you land the plane, you have internet access and you can make calls and everything else without having to pay exorbitant roaming fees.
So, but it's still with the same provider.
No, you can use some other provider in Jamaica or the U.S. or whatever.
So you can load any SIM you want?
Yes, from around the world. And then there are many eSIM providers right now that you can go online and search for that will sell you different kinds of plans.
So let's say, okay, I'm doing a trip in May
mm-hmm.
through Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm going to need on this particular trip mm-hmm. is I'm going to need data.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to my provider and tell him, listen, but I need to have data,
mm-hmm.
and they say, yeah, you can have so much a day, but you don't use it unless you activate it. Well, if I activate it, it's going to cost me $10, $15 a day,
mm-hmm.
which is going to cost me a bloody fortune mm-hmm. for nearly 3 weeks.
Exactly.
So, you know, why can't we have a plan then? If this is the way things work,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I go to Europe and I buy a SIM card.
Now you don't have to.
But, yeah, but I don't, because I don't know if my phone takes cards. But what I'm saying is, so, I mean, how many of these things can you put on your phone?
Depends on the phone. Most phones support at least 2. But there are phones like the iPhone 14, which I believe support up to 4 or 6 or 8 or something like that, but only 2 active at the same time.
Mm.
And by active, meaning that you can either get data service, voice service, or both, in one or the other chip, at the same time. So if one doesn't work, you can switch over to the other and so on, just like you would with a physical SIM.
But why can't my provider just give me an access for 2 months and I pay here?
Because of reasons. I mean, basically, it's just economics.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's just economics, and they don't think it's worth for them to pay the carrier fees that they have to pay the carriers in Europe to carry your traffic over to here, so they'd rather you fend for yourself or pay through the nose and liver and spleen and everything else. So basically what you have to do for your Euro trip is to go online, find an eSIM provider that provides you with the service you need. Some people might need more voice minutes than data because they mm-hmm. like to talk on their phones. You know, crazy.
Why? Who does that?
Exactly. So, I mean, or you could get one for, you know, a number of days of data or a number of gigabytes of data, depending on your usage case. I mean, if you're going to be doing streaming, or if you want to make sure that all your pictures get uploaded to the cloud
mm-hmm.
in case anything happens to your phone or whatever, then you're going to want something with either unlimited data or with a very large data cap, either daily or weekly or monthly or whatever.
Okay. Life's not easy, is it, really? I mean, it used to be easy when we wrote letters.
Well, it used to be easy when you took 3 months to get from here to Europe.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, die of dysentery.
I remember when you didn't have to get to the airport 3 hours before.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. At least you'll avoid a shootout.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We just were kind of at the top of the hour. Quickly, any exciting things we should be looking for in technology?
Well, there's a couple of product launches. The guys from Honor just came out with the X7A. Pretty nice phone. I'm going to be doing a review and unboxing soon. I got an interesting Thunderbolt 4 dock from Belkin that I'm going to be having a look at. A Thunderbolt dock basically allows machines like now, they're so slim that they only have like one or two ports or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can just plug in this one thing and it provides data and power and video and networking and everything else. So when you need to leave, you just unplug one device and then leave.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So there's that. And there's going to be another couple of product launches from the guys at Honor. The S23 is also available for pre-sale from our friends at Samsung.
And if anybody wants a mortgage, you can always pop along to your bank.
Yeah. And ask them to see what your transactions are. Speaking of that, always check your transactions on your credit card just to make sure that nothing's out of the ordinary. You would be surprised how many credit card fraud is done in little increments so that people don't notice.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful about that.
All right. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us this morning. Good advice, as always.
Great to be here
on this morning show. Yeah, thank you very much, Alex. Hopefully you'll be able to join us next week.
Hopefully.
All right. Dr. Computer, as I say, it's always good when he can join us. Hope you learned something from that. Good safety and advice. Time on the breakfast show. We're just about 1 minute away from the top of the hour. So we're going to take our quick break and we'll be back. Joining me in the last hour, John Wolfe will be here talking about the Borchetti Jazz and Blues Festival, which is coming up in March. So stay tuned.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Me avisaron que hoy debe estar pasando el empadronador.
Mamá, ¿qué pasa? Estás tarde. Los censos van hasta el 4 de marzo.
Oye, pero qué buena noticia, que los censos son hasta el 4 de marzo. Pero, ¿y si vienen y no estoy?
Si no estamos en casa, dejarán una hoja de notificación donde podemos llamar al centro de llamadas 510-2020 y listo, agendamos una cita para que nos vengan a censar.
Hasta el 4 de marzo, ábrele la puerta a los censos de población y vivienda de cada 2020. Panamá, cuenta contigo.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
walking down the street.
There we go. That's Tom Petty there. Don't come around here no more. You are listening to us on 89.3. Time is, we're just making our way 14 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock. Right, I want to have a word with Yasmin. Hello.
Hello again.
It's you again. Now, you asked me about a piece of music this morning that you wanted to hear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, why?
Because I said the last time I went to the park for running,
mm-hmm.
that was part of my playlist. And it was very motivating.
It's a piece of music that motivated you to go running?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll skip that one. We don't do anything like that in this year. So, tell me about it then.
Tell you what?
Well, you can tell me who it's by and what it's called.
The name of the band is Maneskin.
Okay, now they're new to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they are young people.
Oh, well, that's why then, really, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the song is young. It's their song. I think it's somebody else, singer before, long time ago. Maybe you can listen to it and you will tell me.
Okay. Well, here it is. Here is Maneskin and Begging.
Put your love, I'm begging. Anytime I feel you got me, no. Anytime I see you, let me know. But the plan and see, just let me go. I'm on my knees when I'm begging, 'cause I don't wanna lose you. Hey, yeah. Ra da da da. 'Cause I'm begging, begging you. Put your love in the hand now, baby. I'm begging, begging you. Put your love in the hand now, darling. I need you to understand. Tried so hard to be your man, the kind of man you want in the end. Only then can I begin to live again. An empty shell I used to be, the shadow all my life was hanging over me. Broken man that I don't know, won't even stand, I never stand to be my soul. Why we're chilling, why we're chasing, why the bottom, why the basement, why we got good shit. Why do you feel for the need to replace me? You're the wrong way, trying to be good. I went up in the feature town where we could be at. Like a heart in a bad way, shit. You can't give it away, you have, and you just obey. But I keep walking on, keep moving the dog, keep open for. Then the dog is yours, keep also home. 'Cause I'm the one that left in a broken home, girl, I'm begging. Yeah, 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 I'm begging, begging you. Stop with your love in the hand now, baby. I'm begging, begging you.
finding hard to hold my own. Just can't make it all alone. I'm holding on, I can't pull back. I'm just a call, not your face of black. I'm begging, begging you, put your loving hand out, baby. I'm begging, begging you, to put your loving hand out, darling. I'm begging, begging you, to put your loving hand out, baby. I'm begging, begging you, to put your loving hand out, darling. I'm begging, begging you, to put your loving hand out, baby. I'm begging, begging you, to put your loving hand out.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carabao Carbleonda are on channel 866, your Grada radio app on your smartphone, or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it, just do it.
The coolest station online.
Yeah, that's us.
Cause we play
this. Some people can love.
I tell you, there's nothing wrong with a bit of champagne in the morning. Mind you, they do spell it somewhat differently, C-H-A-M-P-A-I-G-N, like a campaign. Nothing wrong with that. That's How About Us here on this morning's show. We're 22 and a half minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Always great to welcome my next friend here on The Breakfast Show. And going back quite a while, that's Mr. John Wolfe. Morning, John.
Good morning. Thank you.
There's that voice. Tell me, how you been?
It's been wonderful, busy. We've been trying to do a year's worth of work in 5 months to get the festival going. So everybody involved is running hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we're going to pull it off. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, you don't want to do it, but I mean, this is the first one since the pandemic, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so it's a lot of getting back into the swing of things.
That's correct.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Although we did manage, as you mentioned earlier, to keep going through the pandemic, which was quite nice, especially giving us something to do. How do you go about this in the first place? Because you're bringing international artists in, and how do you get them to come in and play?
Well, you know, it was a really wonderful story. When we first started doing the festival, we were having a hard time getting anybody to come. Nobody knew Boquete. Nobody knew, you know, Panama and the Costa Rican border and up in the mountains. Nobody knew. I have a good friend, and I think you know him, Jay Seelman, who is the president of the National Blues Foundation, came to the 2013 festival and invited me to go to the Blues Music Awards in Memphis.
Oh, nice.
So I went to the Blues Music Awards. I was sitting at the head table, and I met this lovely young lady sitting next to me, and we both were drinking 1,800 tequila shots, and I just wouldn't shut up about the festival.
As you do, yes.
And, you know, we were talking, and we kept talking, and then this Shakura Saida gets up on the stage, and she received the Blues Music Award, and as she's coming down the stage, she walks up to the head table, and this lady sitting next to me stands up and says, "Shakura, next year you're going to Panama." And she looks at her and says, "Yes, Mom." And that's how it started.
Oh, wonderful.
We got Shakura to come, and she brought Lance Anderson, and we got Deanna Bogart, and we started getting, you know, we do things. We treat our guests very well.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to in the States, when you go to a festival, if you're performing, you'll show up maybe the day of the festival or the night before you perform, and you're on a bus and you're gone the next day. We bring them in on Tuesday, and we keep them until Monday. And we start with an open a musician's dinner where we get all the musicians in a room, and we feed them, and we give them wine, and we get them comfortable with each other. And then they start inviting each other up on stage, and it turns into really a musician's festival. They start having a ball. And soon, after we started doing that, I started getting phone calls from musicians who wanted to come.
Oh, really?
So it became, in February, which is when we traditionally do it, is not festival season in the States. It's wet and cold.
Exactly.
These guys aren't touring. If anything, they're recording. So they're perfectly willing to come to Panama for a week vacation. And that's what happened.
I wonder. And I guess, I mean, the way you're going about this and sort of getting them all intertwined with each other, I would imagine there's a bit of fun musically as well between them.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I mean, when the musicians start to have fun, everybody else starts to have fun. You know, it's not a choreographed performance. It's just them having a good time. It's a small, intimate venue. It's great musicians. We've had wonderful, high profile people here. Spyro Gyro.
Exactly. One of my favorites.
Yeah. We were going to have it at the Beaches, which got canceled. The Spin Doctors, Los Lobos. We had 19 Grammy Award winners coming for them.
Wow.
For that festival, yeah.
And how do you find a balance? Because it's the jazz and blues festival. How do you find that balance?
You know, I'm lucky that I work with good people, Lance Anderson, Deanna Bogart, me, and we spend a lot of time selecting how we're going to mix the music. It's like a DJ, just like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are we going to mix this? How are we going to bring this all in? And we've been fortunate, even, you know, it should really be called the Boquete Music Festival, because we have had Oswaldo Ayala, Sammy Sandoval, we had Patricia Sarat, who is Danilo Perez's wife, who organizes the Luz Acosta, Carlos Campos, you would get this wonderful mix of music in it, and everybody, we actually had an accordion playoff between Dwayne Ducey and Oswaldo Ayala.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And have you, I mean, is there any, I can't imagine there is, but conflict, because we've just had the Panama Jazz Festival again, and you've got your Panama Jazz and Blues.
Not at all. Patricia and Danilo are very cooperative, very supportive of us, and we help them any way we can. We're not, well, they're usually in January, and it's a big festival in Panama City.
Of course.
And they're really, really very much jazz. We are jazz and blues and kind of more open to different kinds of music, and we're tiny. We're a little tiny thing. Up in Bogotá.
That's how they started those years ago. So, but I tell you what, I mean, I must admit, because to watch Danilo in action, I mean, not even when he's with the sort of musician, but watching him as a person, he's just so full of energy, and he just loves life, doesn't he, Danilo? He's an incredible guy.
And you know, they're really wonderful. And the music school that they have, and I'm sitting here pushing the Panama Jazz Festival, and I should be talking about Boquete, but the music school that they have and the talent that they bring out of there is great. A great thing for Panama. You know, I support them 100%.
Right. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Now, what do you got lined up for this year? Just a reminder, this is what, 17th to the 19th of March.
That's right. We started off, we weren't really sure whether we were going to be able to have a festival or not. And all the way up into August last year, we were still under the COVID restrictions. So September, I went up to Boquete. Charlie Collins, who is the owner and master chef at the Panamonte Hotel, talked to me, and he said, okay, let's do something, even if it's small, we'll do something here. And the Panama. So I said, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. And that was September 14th. We were driving back from Boquete to back to the beach. I live up at the beach. And they lifted the COVID restrictions. So starting then, we've been trying to do a year's worth of work, trying to organize this whole thing. And it does take a year. It's a full-time job. And we've got a great great lineup. Mr. Sip, Castro Coleman from Mississippi, who was in the 2020 festival. Anybody's watched him perform, he's fabulous. We've got J.P. Soros. We've got Albert Castillega. We've got John Weeks from Colorado. We've got a whole tribe coming from Canada. For all you Canadians out there, we've got a bunch of you Canadians coming down in here. Lance Anderson, Quisha Wint, Matt Whittinger, Virgil Tinsley. We've got a whole bunch of people coming from Canada. And we've managed to keep the number of musicians down. I mean, when you bring Malamania, there's 13 musicians. We've kept it to trios, okay, which helps us, you know, in terms of airline tickets. They're so expensive these days, and hotel rooms. We've kept it to trios, and it's going to be a great performance. And we've got some local bands playing. We've got Jim Botoff from the beach, and Duo from the beach, and who else we've got coming? We've got a couple of other people coming from the beach. I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
Hey, what are you doing? preaching to the converted here. Sometimes I'm like, damn, what was that piece of music called? Well, I tell you what, we are going to take a piece of music. We're talking to John Wolfe. We're talking about the upcoming Jazz and Blues Festival, going to be there in Boquete. But right now, it's Gary Moore.
I recall that you were mine. Those Parisian days. Looking back at the photographs, those summer days spent outside cold, okay. Ooh, I could write you paragraphs about
go, Gary Moore and Parisian Walkways. He can make that guitar sing, can't he?
Sure can.
Whoa. Remember the first time I heard that piece of music, and I still get got goosebumps with his playing. That's a bit of a shortened version. That one doesn't have the long solo in the middle. And so, this is on, we're talking about the Bolketti Jazz and Blues Festival from the 17th to the 19th of March. How is it for people at this stage, John, because we're not far away, getting some hotel accommodation up there?
There's still hotel available.
Yep.
The interesting thing, that weekend is also the David Fair, but the there are rooms available at Valle de Rio, probably the Ladera. The Panamonte sold out. Probably the Oasis, I think, has still got a couple of rooms left. If you go to our app, and I think we might on our website, although the website's been kind of ignored, the app has taken over. The app has the list of all the hotels in Bogotá.
Oh, okay.
And you can go on there and contact them and see what the rooms are available.
And the name of the app is?
That's a Bogotá Jazz and Blues Festival.
Okay.
But you can't go to the app store. Of the app stores is an expired app that we had for the beaches.
Okay.
And this new one is, if you go to our Facebook page or our web page, you can see the how to download the app.
Oh, okay. So I'm on the I'm on your website. See how old fashioned I am.
Yeah.
Gee, I remember when this was the thing to do it. Everybody, I get complicated. It's complicated. We're Instagram. We got Tiki Toki. We got all the, you know. I never know where we are. I'm getting too old for this, John.
Yeah, well, my nieces and nephews and my grandkids laugh at me because we're still doing Facebook, and they're like, no, Instagram.
Dear. Right, let me see if I can find out where the... I've got your Facebook page. So.
I can bring this up for you right away here.
It's all exciting, eh? Oh, the Facebook page is good. See, some people's doing Facebook.
Yep.
there we go. So, yeah. So, anyway, look, do remember, put it in your diary. All right. This is the Panama Jazz Festival in Boquete. And it's from the 17th to the 19th of March. Now, I'll tell you what, we've got a special treat for you tomorrow morning between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. The reason I'm not doing it today is because we get a lot of our listeners in their cars in the morning. If you've got a passenger with you, you'll be able to take part. But John has very kindly given us two tickets for the festival. If I remember right, this is access to all three days.
That's right. Correct.
So it doesn't get much better than that. Access to the Jazz and Blues Festival up there in Boquete for the 3 days. And a big thanks to that for John. So it's a ticket for, we've got two tickets, there's a ticket each, so you can go with a friend and enjoy the Jazz Festival. We're doing that tomorrow morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. And, well tell me, how many stages do you have?
For this one, we're doing one stage at the Panamonte, which is that show goes from 11 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're doing jams
okay.
In the evening. The jams start at 8:30. The first one will be at Mesa Sur. The second one will be at Tap Out. The third one at the Panamonte. And the last one on Sunday, which is always the best one, will be at Valle de Rio.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Yeah.
And we have an open mic for all those people that think that
aspiring.
They're
aspiring.
Yeah, they want to come on. They want to, if they want to play, if you want to play in a jam, you got to go through the open mic. And actually, we've got some good talent has come through there. John Carney was discovered for us at the, at an open mic. Malamania was discovered for us at an open mic. John Weeks was discovered at an open mic. So yeah, those are people that perform regularly at the festival.
There's hope for me with my triangle, yes?
Yeah. Kazoo.
That's it. That's it. The only trouble is that whenever I do it, people come in for lunch. All right. I tell you what we're going to do. It's a piece of music. I don't know if I've got it there. Tell me something you'd like to hear.
John Mayall.
John Mayall. Let's have a look, shall we? Oh, do I have John Mayall?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few there. Here we are, John Mayall. Let me see. How about The Moon Is Full?
How about it?
Okay. All right. How about it?
Gonna hit your ride. hitch a ride. Let that little girl know I'll be riding through the night. You know the moon is full and my love is coming down.
There we go, Mr. John Mayall, and the moon is full. Enjoy that one?
I did.
Yeah, I thought you did. And you talk a lot about John Mayall. Who is he, your favorite blues artist?
Well, the thing about John Mayall was that you talk about the British invasion, and you talk about the guy that took the blues from the United States to the UK, which sparked the British invasion, was John Mayall.
Okay,
and you look at all the bands that spun out of John Mayall, all the, you know, the Cream with Eric Clapton, Fleetwood Mac. People talk about going to work with John Mayall, playing with John Mayall, was like living like monks. All you did was sit there and work on music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you do that for a couple of years, and then you leave, and the big bands that you call recognized, not a lot of people know about John Mayall. But everybody's heard of Fleetwood Mac, everybody's heard of Cream, mm-hmm. everybody's heard of some of the other bands mm-hmm. that spun off mm-hmm. from Mayall, yeah.
I mean, Cream was really, I mean, that was some super group when you look back at the pedigree with Cream. I guess one of my favorite must be, I mean, Eric Clapton I like a lot.
Yeah.
And Martin Offler.
Right.
I mean, his guitar work is amazing.
I love him. Yeah, you know, we were talking about the people whose guitar you can recognize just by a couple of licks, Santana. Mm-hmm. You know, Santana, you know it's Santana. You hear Mark Knopfler and you know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And because that's, Dire Straits.
Right.
And he actually made a record on his own. It's a short one called Beryl. But he did it using the sound of Dire Straits with his guitar. And, like you say, you recognize. And, you know, it's funny, even like with, the sax. I can always tell when Kenny G is backing another artist. And I've been very fortunate to interview him a couple of times, over the line. And when the question I asked him was, how do you do that? How do you find this sort of thing where, you know, if I hear you, I know it's you.
Right.
And he just said, well, you know, it just came. I mean, it came naturally. It wasn't something that you do. It just becomes your style. And, do you play?
No, I don't.
Well, you used to play records.
I used to play records.
I remember that.
And it's not
the Balboa Yield Club. Do you still do it?
No, I quit. I lost the energy. You need a lot of energy to do that. And, I don't have that anymore. But as far as music goes, I grew up. My father had a record company. We had a recording studio.
Really?
Yeah. And there were always musicians in the house. And my grandmother had me on the piano. And my dad had me on the violin. And I wanted to play the guitar. and, you know, the harmonica. And it wasn't for lack of effort, and it wasn't for lack of opportunity. It was just lack of talent. I have no talent.
I'm the same. I tell people, you know, I can't sing to save my life. If anybody suggests going anywhere near karaoke, I'll run the other day. I worked out the other day. I think there's probably a song that I could have done, and that was, I can't remember the name of the artist now, but it's from a film. I was born after a wandering star, if you remember that. But, no, I mean, unlike you, you know, my grandmother and my mother, they sent me to piano lessons.
Right.
And I just couldn't get on with it. You know, my left and right hand always wanted to do the same thing, you know. And, but unfortunately I just play everybody else's music.
Well, then, you know, somebody has to do that.
Somebody has to do it. And I always tell the kids that listen to this program, you know, get yourself a good education or you'll end up doing a radio program. And I tell you what, we're going to take, let's remind everybody again. Come on, we've got the Panama Jazz and...
The Book of the Jazz and Blues Festival, March 17th, 18th, and 19th. We'll actually kick off with a jam on the 16th at night.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be an art show. We're bringing artists down.
Excellent.
I've been trying to do that forever. I mean, we actually, Olga Sinclair, I don't know if you guys know who she is, very famous Panamanian artist. We had her...
Olga Sinclair, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had her at the 2018 festival. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to push it. I'm keep trying to get it in there. We're actually, this year we have a lady coming from Slovenia. She's an art historian, and she's going to be talking about the work of Miro Strarić. And Miro's my girlfriend has probably 30 or 40 of his paintings. And they're beautiful, beautiful impressionist. I mean, really lovely stuff. And the Ministry of Culture in Slovenia is talking to the Ministry of Culture in Panama in order to bring her over here to do presentation on Thursday at the Panamonte.
Oh, wonderful.
Chrissy Hawanko, who's a well-known artist from the beach, will be there, and we're bringing another lady from Canada who does sculpture.
Oh,
so really? There will be, you know, we're trying to class it up a little bit.
I was going to say, it sounds very cultural, John. You okay?
Don't look at me and expect that.
No, I think it's great. Absolutely. I think it's, I mean, I think combining these things. And listen, tell me, I mean, people that are, what about sort of food and drinks and, how are you with alcohol? I mean, is it compulsory?
Yes. We check your blood alcohol level going in. Not high enough, we send you back to the bar. There were some interesting things going on in Boquete, which I think have been cleared up. The mayor had prohibited the sale of alcohol before 4 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's gone away. The Panamonte will be selling alcohol. Anybody that knows Charlie Collins, Charlie Collins, I think for 4 or 5 years in a row was the best restaurant in Panama.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And his food is fabulous.
And he's one of those chefs that goes back to the times when I came. You had a few of them. You had Willie. You had Willie Dingelman. You had Rafa Siglione. You had... there's about 5 of the chefs, and still going strong, too. I mean, Charlie Collins has got a great reputation for his food.
And, you know, we just had... we had 2 events up there. One was for... Valentine's Day, Charlie put on a big spread, and then we had, every year we put on a black and white party. This year, it was on the 16th, 2 days after. We had about 75 people, which is all you could see for his feeding, and the place was packed. But, you know, it was a lot like the British ball. Everybody had to get dressed up.
Oh, yes.
You know? So we had a lot of snazzy people, tuxedos and evening gowns, and really, really lovely, and he put on the food. It was marvelous. Mm. We had Luz Acosta and Carlos Campos playing. Now, Luz plays with Patricia Perez in the group, and with the La Chicas del Jazz, Patricia, Luz Acosta is on the bass. And Carlos is, Carlos isn't playing with her because he's not a girl, but they're married. And they were playing, Luz and Carlos are married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their son was on drums, and the daughter was on vocals. So it was a family thing. The 4 of them were performing. It was good.
Sounds great fun. All right, the time on the breakfast show. I tell you what, we're going to play a couple of minutes of B.B. King together with Eric Clapton, and we'll see. Be back with John quickly. we go. That's it. Love that one. B.B. King together with Eric Clapton and Riding with the King. And talking about with the King, I've been with John Wolfe this morning, the king of the blues and the Jazz and Blues Festival up there in Boquete. Just very quickly, because we're just coming to the end of the program, John, but, I mean, there's be quite a few people involved in all this work.
Organizing it, absolutely. It's a big, big, big team, and people work hard. And I've got one of the best teams that you can imagine working on this festival. There's so many people. Debbie Wilson, Sheila Strunk, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going to forget somebody.
Then don't say anything. Because if you're like me, you have all. But anyway, I know there's a big team involved.
Yeah, there is. And they work hard, every single one of them. And they've been doing it for years with me.
Excellent.
I get the credit, but they're the ones that do the work.
Right, well, a bit like me in here, really. The work's over there behind me. That's Yasmin. She does everything. I just sit here, play music, and have fun. And it's always fun talking to you, John. Thanks, well, and, you're always welcome.
Thank you for the invitation.
And remember, we're going to be giving away, John has very kindly given us two tickets to give away tomorrow for the 3 days of the Boquete Jazz and Blues Festival. We're going to do that between 8 and 9 o'clock tomorrow morning when we got most of you on the line. So that's it. Big thanks again to John. Big thanks to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, for being with us this morning. Yasmin, of course, here in the Breakfast Show studio. Our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid. Big thanks to her, my co-producer, Neil Danby, and the boys and girls at Grupo Grada. Big thanks to them for keeping us up and running and on the air. I'll be back with you tomorrow. It doesn't seem possible, is it, that tomorrow is Friday? So I'll be back with you tomorrow. And we'll be starting at the usual time. And all I want you guys to do, our listeners, advertisers, sponsors, keep safe. Because what do I want to be doing tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock? I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.